Hey, this is Erin Moran from A Girl Called Eddie, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear the WGXC Congressional Report, all about the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st Congressional Districts in New York. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin from Troy finishes singing this song. And it's time for the WGXC Local News on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network. Controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
County will host the Household Hazardous Waste Collection event from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on October 9th. While Greene County's webpage for the event does not include the location, the webpage for the waste transfer stations in the county says it is at Greene County Highway Department, 67 Scott Lane in Athens. Anyone dropping off household hazardous waste must prove they are a county resident with a driver's license or utility bill. Normal trash and electronics and recyclables will not be accepted. Residents must attend at times by their last names, and those with the first letter of their last name beginning with A through F allowed to drop off at 8 to 9 a.m., letters G through K from 9 to 10 a.m., L through P from 10 to 11 a.m., Q through U from 11 a.m. until noon, and V through Z from noon until 1 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Bridget Bergen and John Campbell report for The Gothamist that Republican and Conservative Party leaders filed a lawsuit last week challenging New York's laws absentee ballot rules. Currently, New Yorkers are allowed to vote absentee if they fear contracting a disease such as COVID-19. This lawsuit would force most people to vote in person. Some absentee ballots for this election, with in-person voting October 29th through November 8th, have already been requested, and some have been mailed back. This lawsuit could invalidate those votes. Republicans and conservatives have been challenging election laws throughout the country recently, in an apparent attempt to lower voter turnout. Eric Haight, the Dutchess County Republican Elections Commissioner, who is a plaintiff in the lawsuit, said, and I quote, "Let's face it, the pandemic is over. So to continue pandemic-era rules in perpetuity is inherently flawed," end quote. The claim that the pandemic is over is false, as the Centers for Disease Control reports high community levels of COVID-19 currently in Berkshire, Columbia, and Rensselaer counties, and local counties continue to report deaths from the virus. You can read more about this story in The Gothamist.
Brian Hubert reports for the Daily Freeman that a Verizon landline outage continued to affect police and fire departments in the region on October 3rd. As of mid-afternoon that day, the company had yet to provide a specific timeline for when the issue would be resolved. Saugerties Police Department Chief Joseph Sinagra said the outage has impacted callers trying to call police and fire departments using a 10-digit number in Ulster, Dutchess, and Orange counties since October 2nd. The service did return later that evening, only for it to go down again the next day. Sinagra said the outage has not affected his department's ability to respond to emergency calls. Authorities continue to encourage everyone to call 911 for emergencies. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Tim Williams reports for New York State of Politics that a state appeals judge ruled September 29th that the Independent Redistricting Commission must draw new district lines for the state assembly after those lines were thrown out by a state Supreme Court judge for being unconstitutional. Last year, a judge had a special master draw new lines for the state Senate and congressional districts after they were found unconstitutional before the primary election. But the state assembly primary is passed, and the current lines will remain in place for the coming general election. The Independent Redistricting Commission will work on new lines in advance of the 2024 elections. The Independent Redistricting Commission is easily deadlocked, which led to the state legislature drawing their own lines, which led to courts throwing them out. None of that has changed, so the whole process may repeat itself ahead of the 2024 election. And you can read that full story at New York State of Politics.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting it remains unclear who sanctioned three flights carrying immigrants into Orange County Airport in the village of Montgomery last week. Approximately 25 teenagers under the age of 17, mostly girls, boarded a chartered bus at the airport. The bus was then stopped by local and state police in the village after a pilot reported seeing activity at the airport alleged to be suspicious. Sources told Mid-Hudson News that Homeland Security was involved with the flights, but a federal official with that agency denied it. Then on October 1st, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services emailed a statement to Mid-Hudson News. Quote, "Children under the age of 18 who arrive at the southwest border without a parent or legal guardian are placed in the care of vetted sponsors by the Office of Refugee Resettlement while they await their immigration proceedings. This is done in close coordination with each vetted sponsor who is agreeing to take care for the child and is mandated by long-standing legal requirements that have existed under multiple administrations to provide safe, appropriate care to unaccompanied children during the time they are in our care," unquote. In a strangely worded explanation, former Montgomery Mayor Bill Schmiff said, quote, "It has been said that the occupants on the local airplane shipments are being bused to a City of Newburgh church basement for shelter and further distribution, as well as the City of Middleton," unquote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Zach Hurst reports for North Country Public Radio that Representative Elise Stefanik claims she brings $600 million into her 21st congressional district, but that figure is misleading. Scott Horton, the town supervisor of Caroga in Fulton County, supports Stefanik's record on agriculture and veterans issues, but he says he applied for federal grants through Stefanik's office to help with the repairs to a fire-damaged town hall and got rejected twice. Horton said, and I quote, "It was not supported by the congresswoman, and I think it should have been," end quote. Correction officers at the federal prison in Raybrook say the local prison workers union has tried to meet with Stefanik to talk about staffing issues, but she has not talked with them. While many supporters quoted in the story praised Stefanik for help winning federal aid, She also takes credit for money she did not help secure. A recent press release titled, and I quote, Stefanik delivers over $586,000 for NY21 fire departments, end quote. But in fine print, the release acknowledges that Stefanik only helped some of the fire departments. Stefanik also has taken credit for projects she opposes. Last year, Stefanik described the American Rescue Plan COVID relief package as, and I quote, filled with pork projects, special interest giveaways, and the far left's policy wish list, end quote. But after it passed, she sent out a press release celebrating a grant for the St. Regis Mohawk tribe with over $850,000 from the relief package that she voted against. A spokesperson for Stefanik would not directly comment on any of these issues, changing the subject instead. Starting in January, the 21st Congressional District will include Rensselaer County. And you can read the full story at North Country Public Radio website.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection on October 3rd was investigating the source of an oil slick on the Housatonic River. The source of the pollution was believed to be located north of the Elm Street Bridge in Pittsfield, where the slick was first seen late last week. Three members of the DEP's emergency team were present October 3rd, looking down at the river, where the sheen of some type of fuel could be seen. Pittsfield resident Maria Vasquez was taking a walk along Elm Street on September 30th when she spotted something in the river she had never seen before. Quote, I've never seen a slick there, unquote, said Vasquez, who was familiar with the area near the road bridge where the river flows southwest. On October 3rd, the DEP workers declined to be identified, but said they had just been called about the contaminant and were about to start tracing it north to figure out where it came from. Vasquez said the area has always teemed with wildlife like ducks and raccoons, and she once saw a bobcat cross the river. She found the presence of pollution troubling. Quote, that's really sad to see, unquote, she said. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
The Times Union reports that New York Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon on September 30th said the plan to gradually raise the minimum wage was ongoing, with upstate regions scheduled to go from $13.20 an hour to $14.20 at midnight December 31st. Reardon said in a statement, and I quote, by raising the minimum wage incrementally, New York is helping businesses adjust to the new rate while giving low-wage workers the ability to better participate in our economy. Continuing with the multi-year plan to raise minimum wage is in line with market standards and ensures that no worker is left behind, end quote. But Reardon's announcement will need an official rulemaking and public comment before it is final, according to the Department of Labor. About 200,000 New Yorkers upstate will get a raise if the minimum wage increase is approved. According to a state budget analysis, of those workers, 44% are full-time and 25% are supporting children below the age of 18. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 60 degrees. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 45 degrees. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a temperature high near 65 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 45 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in Tuesday, October 4th, for all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM. including at 9 a.m. we'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report about the votes, the speeches, and more from the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats as the election draws closer. At 11 a.m., it's time for Early Electro Mix with tracks this week from Ivan Patiak, Kraftwerk, and Pierre Henry. 3 p.m., the Radio Art Hour features a Montreal audio placebo transmission. At 6 p.m., we hear from Rensselaer County Court Judge Deborah Young about her campaign on the All Together Now show. At 8 p.m., Neva Wartell has music for the masses. And at 10 p.m., Dan Seward is fighting the battlefield Earth live from somewhere in Columbia County on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations. It's part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to WGXC.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm. Listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or wgxc.org, any wgxc.org page. Click on the listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at wgxc.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons on any WGXC.org page. Click on the listen button to tune in your weather.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, October 4th. Local early morning temperatures range from 39 degrees in Hubble Corners to 50 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 56 degrees and it is dropping steadily. It's going to be cool and a little wet today, so if you're putting around inside, you may want to ensure smoke detectors are working properly and are placed in the living room, bedroom, kitchen, and a few more won't hurt. Carbon monoxide detectors are also important. Don't worry about placing them near the floor. Carbon monoxide mixes in the air like everything else, so best off putting it 5 feet above the floor. Ceiling is fine as well. These are exceedingly important if you use kerosene or propane heaters inside the home. Speaking of heaters, it's only going to be 55 degrees today. Happening at 3 p.m. Chances for isolated rain will be about all day and getting stronger in the afternoon, lasting through midnight. We see a low of 48 degrees overnight, seemingly shaking off the frost opportunities for several days. Tomorrow morning, we see more rain, hopefully tapering off by 4 p.m., which is also when we see the daily high of 62 degrees. Overnight, 42 degrees, then on Thursday, dry, mostly sunny, and a high of 73. We'll get a damp feeling 50 degrees overnight, then only hitting 68 degrees on Friday. Maybe a little rain in the afternoon. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:15 a.m., high tide at 10:44 a.m., low tide again at 5:26 p.m., and high tide once again at 11:09 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 62 degrees, and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 6:20 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:51 a.m. Looking way up, we see a 35% chance of X-class flares and a coronal mass ejection, or several of them, are expected today. Geomagnetic unrest is also expected, especially if one CME cannibalizes another, gaining its strength. Solar wind speed is currently 573 kilometers per second at 10.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible. Just terrible. Same for overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, storm level. The current sunspot number is 144, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alex Benson of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
To call the Singularity Show, hosted by the Catskill Makers, call 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at wgxc.org.
Call 518-697-7400 to ask a question or join the fun. You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
Welcome to 2022 Tonks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Authoritarian actors, autocratic actors, are leveraging these platforms to get their messages out there.
The FBI says Russian and Chinese operatives are promoting misinformation online about the integrity of U.S. elections ahead of November's midterms. Former director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Chris Kerbs, explains foreign influences exploit conversations on social media.
From a disinformation perspective, we don't see a lot of organic narrative from adversaries. What they're doing is latching on to existing narratives and taking both sides of an issue.
FBI officials noted there is currently no evidence of credible threats to election operation systems, but investigators are monitoring possible threats to election workers. The death toll from Hurricane Ian in Florida is now at least 100 lives lost. The Category 4 hurricane decimated coastal towns where crews search for survivors. More than 1,600 people have been rescued since last week. Search and rescue efforts also continue in Puerto Rico, which was devastated by Hurricane Fiona just a few weeks ago.
We want to be treated in the same way as our fellow Americans in the States in times of need. All American citizens, regardless of where they live in the United States, should receive the same support from the federal government.
That's Puerto Rico Governor Pedro Perliosi, who welcomed a visit from President Joe Biden on Monday. Biden promised more than $60 million to boost the island's defenses against future storms. The Supreme Court started its new term Monday with the courtroom open to the public for the first time since March 2020. Its newest member, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, eagerly asked questions during arguments on a business-backed challenge of Clean Water Act provisions. Other cases the court will consider this term include issues related to race, elections, free speech, and LGBTQ rights. In Washington, D.C.'s federal courthouse, the trial began for the five members of the alt-right group, the Oath Keepers, who pleaded not guilty to the charge of seditious conspiracy. Prosecutors say the men planned an armed rebellion on January 6, 2021, to keep former President Donald Trump in office. The defense countered the group had no plan to overthrow the government. Former President Donald Trump is seeking $475 million in damages from CNN in a new defamation case. Trump's lawyers claim the network used its influence in a smear campaign for the purpose of defeating him politically in 2020. Now to New York City, where Mayor Eric Adams called for a unified response as his city copes with an unprecedented influx of migrants arriving from southern border states.
The far right is doing the wrong thing. The far left is doing nothing. I mean, the silence, I don't believe the silence that I'm hearing. These are people in need of services.
More than 16,000 migrants have arrived in New York City since May. Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott started relocating migrants in early August to protest the Biden administration's border policies. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. This fall, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in what's shaping up to be a landmark case in election law, Moore versus Harper. On its face, it's about gerrymandering in North Carolina, but its decision may reshape U.S. elections, giving state legislatures ultimate power over election law. After the North Carolina legislature gerrymandered congressional districts, locking in 10 of 14 seats to the GOP, the North Carolina Supreme Court threw out the maps as unconstitutional. But the GOP filed suit using the independent state legislature theory to argue that language in the elections clause in the U.S. Constitution gives state legislatures ultimate authority over elections, including redistricting, conducting the elections, and most alarmingly, voting rights. The theory is based on early arguments by a minority of the framers and uses an interpretation of the elections clause that most constitutional scholars have dismissed as fringe until now. Four of the U.S. Supreme Court justices, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, recently voiced support for the theory in other cases. The position of Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett are still unclear. More on the roots of the independent state legislature theory and its use of a document that even the country's founders thought was suspect in our next report. We have links to details on the case and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
From Bjork's 2022 album Fossora, this is Free Fall on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Free Fall. I let myself free fall into your arms, into the shape of the love we created. Structure, facial sculpting.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan just began representing the 19th District and has yet to be included in the rankings.
The Daily Freeman reports that new Congressperson Pat Ryan introduced his first bill in the House of Representatives after 9 days in office. Ryan, a Democrat, filling in the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's term in the 9th Congressional District, introduced the Protecting Reproductive Freedom Act. The bill would allow access to abortion medication through telehealth, even in states that banned abortion, and would create a congressional report on other ways to expand access to reproductive health care. Ryan said in a press release, and I quote, "A woman's right to choose is one of this country's foundational freedoms, and there is no place for government interference in these private medical decisions. Yet extremist state lawmakers are restricting access to FDA-approved abortion medication and even threatening to open Americans' mail to stop the delivery of doctor-prescribed health care services. This legislation would ensure that women across the country can access this safe and effective medical treatment," end quote. Over half of all abortion care in the U.S. comes through medication, with the two-dose regimen of mifepristone or misoprostol approved for up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. This year, at least 20 states have proposed bills to restrict or ban access to those abortion pills, which were approved more than two decades ago by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and other new bills would force women to get those medications from a doctor in person. Ryan beat Republican Mark Molinaro in a special election to fill the final weeks of Delgado's term, and many political observers said his support for abortion rights was a key part of that campaign. Now Ryan is running for the new 18th Congressional District against Republican Colin Schmidt in November, while Molinaro faces Democrat Josh Riley in the new 19th Congressional District. Schmidt did not respond to requests for comment. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
With the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade decision earlier this year, views on abortion have been center stage in every election in America since. And that continues this fall in the New York 19th Congressional District contest between Republican Mark Molinaro and Democrat Josh Riley. Molinaro lost a special election for the old version of the district in August to Democrat Pat Ryan, and many political observers wrote that the Democratic turnout was up in that race because of the abortion issue. Riley has been clear that he supports abortion rights, and his campaign website says, and I quote, "Women's health care decisions are women's health care decisions, not the government's," end quote. Molinaro's campaign website avoids the issue completely in the, and I quote, "policy," end quote, section. Molinaro has said he opposes most abortions after 17 weeks. At a September 1st town hall meeting with voters in Endicott and Broome County, Molinaro said, and I quote, "I don't want government in specific decision-making that women will have to make. But I also want to be respectful of the fact at some point there ought to be some limitation, except in the case of life of the mother, rape and incest," end quote. His 17-week limit is very close to the 15-week abortion ban that South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham recently proposed. Just after Molinaro lost to Ryan, he appeared on the right-wing Newsmax network, which has reported conspiracy theories that lets guests incorrectly state that the 2020 presidential election was, and I quote, "stolen," end quote, and he was asked about the abortion issue.
Rather than avoiding the topic, I think we have to talk honestly about what whether we are male or female candidates, what we believe and why we believe it, and connect with people on this issue. I do think that is an important lesson. You know, the world changed, and whether you were identified as pro-life or pro-choice, whether you agreed with the Supreme Court decision or not, having an honest conversation about it, about what we value in life and about life, I think is important for Republicans. I think that we have to connect with people and explain to them that we care deeply about this issue and how now do we navigate the new landscape.
A video excerpt of Molinaro on Newsmax is available on the WGXC Newsroom webpage. WSKG reports that just about a month before voting begins, the candidates for the new 19th Congressional District still have not agreed to debate. Democrat Josh Riley agreed to debate with WSKG, a public television and radio station working with the League of Women Voters of Broome and Tioga counties, but Republican Mark Molinaro did not. Riley said on September 25th, and I quote, "I understood from yesterday that he had declined the WSKG debate, which I had accepted, so we'll have to see what other invitations we have," end quote. Molinaro says he has agreed to a debate hosted by Spectrum News and two candidate forums, not debates, one with Ulster County Chamber of Commerce and another with Greater Binghamton Chamber of Commerce. Even though he has agreed to only one debate and two candidate forums, Molinaro said on September 23rd, and I quote, "I'm guessing it's just scheduling issues, but three debates seems like a reasonable number to have across a district this size," end quote. Voting begins on October 29th and ends November 8th, and you can read the full story at the WSKG website. Patricia R. Doxey is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Democrat Pat Ryan and Republican Colin Schmidt outlined their differences on the abortion issue at an Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce Meet the Candidates breakfast September 27th. Two are competing for the new 18th Congressional District seat in November. Ryan, the former Ulster County executive, was just elected to be the 19th Congressional District Congressperson for a few weeks, filling in after Antonio Delgado resigned to become Lieutenant Governor. Schmidt is a two-term Republican Assembly person from Orange County. Ryan was dismayed about the Supreme Court overturning the Roe v. Wade decision earlier this year. Ryan said, and I quote, "I feel pretty strongly this goes squarely against who we are as a country, who we are as a nation," end quote. Then Schmidt said he is pro-life, so in favor of banning abortion, and then falsely claimed that Ryan would permit taxpayer-funded abortion up to the moment of birth and would prohibit parental notification laws. Instead, Ryan said he would reinstate the framework that Roe v. Wade created and call Schmidt's mischaracterization, and I quote, "kind of embarrassing, frankly," end quote. The full video of Schmidt and Ryan speaking at the event are on the WGXC Newsroom website. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican congressional candidate Mark Molinaro is now opposing the United States sending military aid to Ukraine to fight off the invasion from Russia. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I believe that as a country, we have met our financial obligation to support Ukraine resistance," end quote. Russia invaded Ukraine in February without provocation and is accused of many human rights violations. Since the invasion, Finland and Sweden have moved to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, as fears of Russia invading other countries have spread. The United States sent Ukraine approximately $15.2 billion in military aid since President Joe Biden took office. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I think the president ought to marshal freedom-loving democratic societies around the world to more aggressively isolate, freeze, and make abundantly clear to Vladimir Putin that he is a criminal, is a tyrant, and America and democracies around the world do not accept his incursion, his invasion, or his continued military efforts in Ukraine," end quote. The Republican candidate for the 19th Congressional District did not say how he would do that. Molinaro is running against Democrat Josh Riley for the new 19th Congressional District, with voting beginning October 29th and ending November 8th. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that less than 3 weeks after being sworn in, Democrat Pat Ryan passed his first bill in the U.S. House of Representatives on September 29th. Ryan's bill would give access to VA home loans to those National Guard and Reserve forces conducting active duty for training or in training pipelines for specialized areas. The Expanding Home Loans for Guard and Reserves Act passed 296 to 127, a rare bipartisan vote, and now heads to the U.S. Senate. The Veterans Health Care Benefits Improvement Act of 2020 left out National Guard service members and reservists conducting active duty for training or entering into a longer training pipeline, and this bill would close that loophole. Ryan, who was elected in a special election for New York's 19th Congressional District after Democrat Antonio Delgado resigned to become Lieutenant Governor, said, and I quote, "There's some guardsmen and women who were and weren't eligible even though they were serving in the same battalion, in the same unit, in the same place. It shouldn't matter. This is really addressing that and righting that wrong," end quote. Ryan was sworn in September 13th and faces another election this fall, but he is running in the 18th Congressional District after the lines were redrawn. Ryan said, and I quote, "I feel tremendous pride. I'm able to help the veterans in something this important. This is really important, especially given the intersection of rising home prices and veterans' homelessness," end quote. You can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information. On October 9th, Elvis Perkins from Columbia County makes a rare local appearance on a local stage. Elvis Perkins in Deerland, his project, is performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And like all other Avalon Lounge shows, there should be a live web stream at wgxc.org/listen. Elvis Perkins in Deerland has not played locally in a decade, I believe, is the statistic people are saying, you know, they are saying. So let's listen to a little Elvis Perkins in Deerland. This is Shampoo, a 2009 song from Columbia County's Elvis Perkins in his Elvis Perkins in Deerland project.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When COVID-19 vaccines first became available,
health officials in Pima County, Arizona, opened drive-through vaccination sites.
They were located on large parking lots for vehicle access, and that worked really well during the cooler season. But by March, when the temperatures were getting a little bit warmer in Tucson, they were already starting to get reports of heat-related illnesses.
Lad Keith of the University of Arizona studied three vaccination sites in Tucson. His team took wet bulb globe temperatures, which measure ambient temperature, humidity, and other factors that together indicate heat's impact on people. They found that areas in full sun averaged 8 degrees hotter than shady spots.
And so a manager who's watching over a site under a tent may feel that it's actually a cool day, but some of the volunteers or staff may be much more exposed to the heat.
In response to Keith's study, site managers took steps to protect people's health. They began giving workers more water and enforcing mandatory rest breaks. And local officials shifted the clinics first to cooler evening hours and then to indoor locations. Keith says it's important to protect frontline workers from heat so they can stay safe while protecting others from COVID or any other crisis. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Tuesday, October 4th. The Renewable Weather Forecast starts with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. $3.59 is the lowest price of a gallon of gas there at the Stewart Shops in Cairo. Then we look at the air quality forecast, which is a 15, almost half of what it was the day before and in the good category. The UV index is also a 2 on Tuesday. That's in the low category. That's because the National Weather Service in Albany predicts mostly cloudy skies on Tuesday. The chance of showers between 2 and 3 p.m. is 20%. And there will be a high of 57 predicted with a wind from the north around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon spinning local windmills. Tuesday night, again, a 20% chance of showers after 7 p.m. with cloudy skies and a low around 45. Wednesday should be partly sunny with a high of 64 and a north wind 3 to 5 miles per hour, a low around 45 Wednesday night. Thursday should be fully sunny with a high of 70, the warmest day of the week, low around 49 on Thursday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Nothing but a dirty, dirty old man. You do your thinking with a one-track mind. You keep talking about heaven and glory, but on your face is a different story. Clean up your rap, your story's getting dusty. Wash out your mouth, your lies are getting rusty. Can't believe nothing you say, 'cause I'm around and I see what you do. You know you're funkier than a mosquito's tweeter. You got a mouth like a herd of boll weavers. Same old game, same old thing. You never change, always rapping about the same old thing. I got something to tell you, baby, that you ain't hip to, baby. Blowing minds is a thing of the past. You blew your chance, that's why you never last. You wanna be a graduated mother, but in reality you're just another brother. Slick, but you could stand a lot of greasing. The things you do ain't never really pleasing. Can't believe nothing you say. I'm around to see what you do. You know you're funkier than a mosquito's tweeter. You got a mouth like a herd of boll weavers. Same old game, same old thing. Always rapping by
up upon a big stool. Nothing worse than an educated fool. Talking sex is your favorite conversation, but peace and love is a famous generation. What's in your head is really started showing. Your conversation's getting kind of boring. Can't believe